the best men's brands, waist size 38 and up. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, select dress shirts are just $49.50 each when you buy two or more.
This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugarbush and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury, Montpelier. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Pulitzer Prize winner John Meacham, who is the author of Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power. John has recently adapted this book and actually made it a lot easier for kids to read, too. Added a lot of pictures in. Actually makes it easier, I think, for talk show hosts, too. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Kind of, you know, making the number one New York Times bestseller, making it accessible to even more of us. Thank you. So when you, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
When you look at a figure like Thomas Jefferson, so when you're going to do a biography of somebody like this, how do you approach it when there's already been so much written about him?
I didn't realize people had written about Jefferson before. I was misinformed.
Okay.
I spend about a year reading everything I can, and the test is twofold. One is, do I feel that in the current argument, in the current conversation about a figure, is there something new to say? Is there a new interpretation in which to put around the person in order to shed some kind of different light on them? And the second is, frankly, does something about the story, something about the person, resonate now? Without writing a how-to guide or being overly heavy-handed about it, is there something about the figure that I think offers a lesson that would be useful in our own time? And in the case of Jefferson, both those boxes were checked. On the first one, you know, he'd had a pretty rough 25 years or so. He had been rightly hit very hard for his slave owning and his relationship with a woman, an enslaved woman whom he owned and controlled. And he'd been seen in a series of popular biographies about his opponents, basically Washington, Hamilton, Adams. He'd been seen as more of a duplicitous figure, as kind of a foil for those men, in a way that I thought shortchanged him, honestly. And so I wanted to recover him as a fuller figure in his own right, not simply how he was reflected in conflicts with others. And the second, which was the lesson, is related to that, which is that a lot of us are really frustrated with politics right now. The polls have never been more depressing about a lack of faith in institutions. But politics is the only way we have to order our common lives in the broadest possible way. And Thomas Jefferson, for all of his rhetoric, for all of the things he did, for all of his architecture and his food and his farming, his writing, everything, was a working politician for 40 years, from 1769 to 1809. That's what he did. And I thought that if you could redeem politics to some extent, it would be a service.
Just as you weren't aware that anybody had written about Jefferson, I wasn't aware that there was any problem in Washington, D.C. these days. Nobody's really writing about that.
I hate to be the one to tell you, and I know that it'll be upsetting. But politics, the root of the word is city, and a city is a collection of individuals. So it's a human enterprise. It's not a clinical thing. When people say politics is broken, what they're really saying is that we're broken. And that begs all sorts of arguments, I understand. You know, that actually, the system doesn't reflect the broader public. Maybe. Jonathan Rauch of the National Journal wrote a very important book about 25 years ago now called Demosclerosis. Basically, the idea being that one of the problems we have with trying to reform a budget, for instance, at the federal level, is that every program has some constituency. And so no matter what you try to lop off, someone is going to be upset. And so all of us, whether it's a home mortgage interest deduction or Social Security or Medicare, whatever it is, even people who consider themselves totally independent of government, are not in fact independent of government.
Right.
And so the hypocrisy of pointing the finger at other people who are getting benefits when we're getting benefits ourselves is something that keeps the system sclerotic. It keeps reform from happening.
You know, it's fascinating you raise that. I just got a letter from somebody after our election last week that made that exact point, that said they didn't understand the disconnect between people complaining about the government and immediately wanting to turn to them when there's a problem. How would you explain that gap?
Oh, it's classic cognitive dissonance. You know, it's the ability to hold two separate ideas in our head. And part of it is, I think if we look back at the last 60 years or so, the two dominant political figures of the, really from 1932 to now, I would argue, are Franklin Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan. And in many ways, they answered each other to some extent. Reagan voted for Roosevelt four times. But one of the most significant moments in modern American political history was the moment Ronald Reagan became a Republican, because his formidable skills, imaginative, political, cultural, were then put to service in creating an alternative narrative to Roosevelt's America. So Roosevelt's America was, what can the state do for the common good? That was always the first question. Reagan shifted that question to being the first point being, what can the market do? So you have these, suddenly you have a twin set of very powerful narratives embodied by incredibly effective politicians, but without ever truly undoing the first. Mm-hmm. So in an interesting way, Reagan created a rhetorical hostility to government without genuinely undoing the foundations of the New Deal. And so I think this is a very, very high-minded for this hour of the morning. but I think that's what it is. I think you have equally powerful narratives embodied by incredibly important political figures but the counter-narrative took hold in the imagination without taking hold in reality.
Hmm. Wow. I'd hate to think of what you come up with at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, John.
Well, you know, you ask.
You're right. John Meacham's the author of Thomas Jefferson, President and Philosopher. Thomas Jefferson hated confrontation? Really? How are you successful as a founding father and as a president without and not hating confrontation?
He hated face-to-face confrontation. He really did. He never gave speeches. And in fact, as important a political observer as John Adams noticed, and in fact appreciated that, he said that Jefferson had figured something out that the rest of them hadn't, which is that no one ever actually changes their mind when someone gets up and gives a speech saying that they're wrong. And what Jefferson did is he focused on being a great committeeman. He worked behind the scenes. He always wanted to be the one who wrote essentially the press release. I mean, the Declaration of Independence is a sacred document. But functionally, it's the world's most famous press release.
Wow.
And so by being the one who communicated the decisions of the Continental Congress or the Confederation Congress or whatever body he was part of, Jefferson exerted a level of control without having to argue with large numbers of people. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when the Declaration of Independence was being edited on the floor of the Continental Congress, Jefferson was so unhappy, his leg was moving nervously at such a rapid rate that Benjamin Franklin thought he was going to kick a hole in the floor. But it was a personal characteristic that had a real cost for him. One of the reasons a lot of his opponents thought he was duplicitous is because they would come away from a conversation with him thinking that he had agreed with them, when in fact what he had done was simply nod. Franklin Roosevelt had this characteristic, too. A lot of politicians do. What is a politician's unit of commerce? A politician's unit of commerce is the affection and respect and agreement and goodwill of the person they're talking to in that moment, right?
Right.
And so if you're challenging them all the time, you know, if you're Chris Christie, you know, it's a different kind of personality type. Mm-hmm. More politicians than not dislike confrontation.
Mm-hmm. Talk about his flaws. I mean, you just mentioned Chris Christie. I was thinking, well, he certainly, I think, is somebody that most people view as having a bit of a mean streak in him. So what about Thomas Jefferson? Did he have any of that meanness?
He had less meanness than his broad vices were reflections of the nations. No greater articulator of the promise of human liberty than Thomas Jefferson, and no more ferocious defender of African-American slavery.
Uh-huh.
He was able to live different with a different reality than the one he articulated as a political ideal. And so there's no conversation about Jefferson's complete without pointing out that fundamental contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
My own view is that it's a fundamental contradiction of the country as well. Here's a nation conceived in liberty, as Lincoln put it, but which in the very founding documents institutionalized a compromise over slavery. The Constitution codifies this. And so America is not, never has been, a perfect place. We seek to be a more perfect union, but that's a very different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the reasons I do what I do, and one of the reasons I wanted to, you know, have this conversation with younger readers, or at least get a conversation going, is so that they would see that you don't have to be perfect to play a role, a political role. And in fact, and if you try to think that someone has to be an unalloyed hero, has to be an uncomplicated person to be a leader, then you're not going to have any leaders. All of our heroes, all of those who have made a difference, have had immense personal complexity.
Yeah, but a lot of them we didn't know about at the time. You know, today, if Thomas Jefferson ran for president today, wouldn't he just get crucified?
Well, he got crucified the first time. So, you know, his relationship with Sally Hemings, for instance, was fully vetted the year after he was elected. And so it was in the papers, talked about editorial cartoons throughout his presidency, including his reelection campaign. It felt different because the technology was different. But mm-hmm. I'm a little reluctant to accept the point entirely because, you know, if you're living in the late 18th century and a newspaper that comes once a month is your only means of communication, you know, that's an information superhighway because 10 years before you didn't have that every month.
Right.
You know, and so no doubt. If I talk to, you know, senators, governors, you know, all the time about what's changed in the last 10 years, 20 years, and all of them say, and some of them will pull out and brandish, actually, their phone and say, it's the instant reaction. And they'll be reading the Twitter feeds that attack them. Which I think is probably a bad idea. But, you know, there's always been enormous partisan pressure. It does feel different. I would argue that right now it's degree, not kind. But again, I'm not in the arena, so I don't know. A lot of politicians who've been there pre-internet and post-internet say that it has made all the difference. And at some level, you have to credit their experience.
John Meacham, the author of Thomas Jefferson, President and Philosopher. So how did Jefferson justify that relationship with Sally Hemings, or did he?
He didn't. It was totally shut down. He denied it on a couple of occasions. It was part of the ambient atmosphere of slave-owning America was there was a whole lot of this. It was not uncommon. There were those who were more open about it than Jefferson, but it was a code of life almost unimaginable to us now that was suffused with silence and complexity and avoided realities. It was a very complicated time, and it's one of the reasons that we have to be careful in our retrospective judgments. It was unquestionably wrong. There were voices in real time saying it was wrong. But for a, my view of the moral utility of history is that if the best people of a given generation could be so woefully wrong about something so fundamental as the definition of human liberty and the reality of human liberty, then what are, in our own time, what are the issues that have political, moral, economic, cultural significance that for reasons of political, moral, economic, cultural convenience, we do little about? And I can think of several right off the top of my head. So
yeah, like,
the goal should be, it seems to me, the goal should be to conduct ourselves in real time that would give the future fewer reasons to look back on us and wonder how on earth did they allow X or Y to go forward.
Give me an example of what you mean. Bill Clinton, you can't use Bill Clinton.
About what's wrong now?
Yeah. Yeah, an example of something that we kind of look the other way on.
I think income inequality and climate change are the two great issues. There's no rational. I mean, the preponderance of evidence is that the American middle class, the great driving social, cultural, political, economic engine of the post-war era, is in danger of extinction. Household incomes are functionally flat since Ronald Reagan's last year as president. That's a significant problem. There's been good news out of China about climate change, but there's also concern that we now have a Congress that has a very different, a Senate anyway, that has a very different view of what the efficacy of solutions about climate change can be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a partisan, but this seems to me that no rational person can look at the data on those two issues and not think that there is something that we should be considering doing.
Last question. This is an adaptation from a book that you entitled Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power. Give me an example of Jefferson using power to get a proposal through.
The great example is 1803. Summer of 1803, he receives word that Napoleon is interested in unloading the Louisiana Territory. Jefferson, who had come to power as a small government advocate, believing in strict construction, believed that in order to buy Louisiana required a constitutional amendment. That is, that he, as president, could not do it unilaterally. So he begins to go to the country. About 5 weeks later, he gets a second letter saying that Napoleon is rethinking the deal. Jefferson is then absolutely faced with a question of, does he follow through on principle and try to amend the Constitution and thereby perhaps lose the window to buy Louisiana, or does he reject his long-held principles and act unilaterally and take advantage of the moment? He chooses to act unilaterally. He writes that at the time that the duty of the chief magistrate is to the strict line of the law, but that is not the highest duty. He argued that he was acting as a guardian would for a ward, going beyond the strict bounds of the will of the trust, but hoped that the ward would later appreciate what the guardian had done.
Wow.
So the art of power to me is the ability to maneuver in a largely principled way, to have principles, but also be someone who can respond to changing circumstance in a rational way. And that's the great example in Jefferson's life.
What are you writing about now?
George Herbert Walker Bush.
Oh, wow.
I'm doing the senior President Bush. Have his diaries, his vice presidential and presidential diaries, which he gave me. So I'm working away.
Well, you're going to compete with W. I heard he's got a memoir out about his dad, too. Huh?
He does.
Be slightly different.
So it'll be fun.
Thank you for your time this morning, John. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
John Meacham, a Pulitzer Prize winner, the author of Thomas Jefferson, President and Philosopher, as you heard me mention. It's an adaptation of the New York Times bestseller, number one Times bestseller back in 2012 and 2013, Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power. 244-1777 is our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. Perhaps you have a comment on one of our guests that we've had on the program this morning. Maybe you have some comments on where things stand with the Vermont Health Connect website. Maybe have some comments on our incredible guest, Alan Rabinowitz, about the preservation of the jaguar and his ability. What an incredible guy, huh? His ability to overcome a really profound stutter that he still has today, as you've heard him talk about, but was really something that was so devastating as a child. I mean, with the discussion we had with him last time around, I think the podcast is still up, was really quite something when he talked about how he was treated by his peers and kids in school, and it just, you know, it was a real heartbreaker. So maybe you have some thoughts, comments on that. Maybe you'd like to share with us some of your insight. Maybe you have a comment or two about Thomas Jefferson. Maybe you'd like to talk about something else on the program this morning. We will continue taking your thoughts and comments. We've been doing this for the past couple of days on this question that Republican gubernatorial candidate Scott Milne is pondering. About whether or not to take his, how aggressively to, I guess is the way to describe it, how aggressively to pursue his candidacy before the Vermont legislature. And he mentioned in our discussion that we had at the beginning of the week that he was going to be seeking out the Council of Vermonters, as he described it, people who care about Vermont. I guess I would have put myself in that category too. But he'd love to hear what your thoughts and comments are on this, and I would too. So you can reach us at 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. And I think you already know, if you've ever listened to the program before, you're welcome to throw a new topic onto the table here. We switch topics pretty quickly. So, you know, just feel free to jump in whatever it is that's of interest to you this morning. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Friday. Wow, what a week, huh? It's, coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with Chittenden County Prosecutor T.J. Donovan to kick off the program. And coming up at 10 o'clock, we'll be joined by Governor Shumlin. You can join us on those discussions as well, too. Again, our number is 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. If you're looking for a great local printer, our friends at Jet Service Envelope can really help you out. We're getting up sort of towards the end of the year. Don't want to rush things on you. But if you are looking for items to start the new year, maybe you want some new letterhead, part of your business plan in 2015, give it a nice spruced up look. It's about the easiest way that you can show a fresh face on your business. Maybe you can put a fresh coat of paint on the building. That might be the only equivalent. But to your customers, one of the first things they see is that envelope and letterhead that come from you. May come in the form of a bill, it may come in the form of correspondence, but it's something that people look at. And if you have crummy letterhead or crummy envelopes, you know, those stamps that you can buy in the office supply stores where, you know, you get your address and your business name, and then you get the red thing and it's sort of half on there and it's always crooked. You know, class it up, would you, a little bit here for 2015? Come on. So call the folks at Jet Service Envelope at 229-9335, 229-9335, and on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. All right, we've got a full bank of calls here, which we will get to right after these important announcements.
G-Stone Motors website ad, take one.
Hey, I'm Travis Romano from G-Stone Motors in Middlebury. We'd like to invite everyone to check out our web...
Hey, Travis, I just got a text message from my daughter.
Yeah, I heard.
What does TTYL mean?
Oh, are you still trying to figure out that phone? It means talk to you later, as in after we finish this ad.
How do you know all this stuff?
Did you download our new web app yet?
Web app? I mean, I can see the whole inventory from this phone?
Yeah, you can see our entire inventory right on your cell phone.
Cool. Did you know I could play Angry Birds on my phone?
Oh, never mind.
G-Stone Motors website ad, take two.
Hey, I'm Travis Romano from G-Stone Motors in Middle...
Excuse me, Travis. Do you know what WTAIT means?
No, but I know what WTF means. What is it this time?
We'll take anything in trade. How's that?
All right, give me the tag.
G-Stone Motors, your hometown Ford and GMC dealer where they take anything in trade. Route 7 in Middlebury or online at gstonemotors.com.
Please join Fiore Bridal in Essex Junction on November 28th and 29th for a trunk show featuring the exquisite 2015 wedding gowns by Justin Alexander. Every bride who makes an appointment will receive a $100 gift card toward the purchase of her gown. Come visit their beautiful and romantic shop on November 28th and Small Business Saturday for a day filled with memories. Their beautiful shop, unique gowns, and dedicated consultants set Fiore apart from the others. Come see why so many say it's more than a boutique. It's an experience.
Let the magic begin at Vermont Enchanted Events, your New England-bound wedding planner. Come meet with owner Jackie Watson, whose work has been featured on local and national websites, blogs, and magazines. A member of the Vermont Association of Wedding Professionals, Vermont Enchanted prides themselves in telling your unique wedding story. You can reach Jackie at vtenchantedevents@gmail.com. VT Enchanted Events. It's our job to tell your story like a page turning in a great novel.
It's no secret, Mejuron Supermarket is a great place to shop. I'm Tom Mejuron. For over seven decades, Mejuron's has been catering to the needs of the Mad River Valley and beyond. We have custom-cut meats, fresh produce and seafood, regular and organic grocery, locally produced foods galore, topped off by an extraordinary wine and beer department and a state liquor agency. Shop Mejuron Supermarket, Village Square Shopping Center, Waitsfield.
I'm Deborah Wachtel, and I have been providing health care for Vermonters as a nurse practitioner for 28 years. The most frustrating barrier to my delivering effective and timely care is when insurance companies unnecessarily dictate how I must treat my patients. This also creates an administrative quagmire and adds huge costs to medical bills. That's why I support creating a universal, publicly funded health care system. It is better for patients, better for health care clinicians, and better for the state's economy.
Paid for by Vermont Leeds, Montpelier, Vermont.
Jack Castellaneta, this may be the most important weekend of the year for car and truck buyers. It's the holiday concert sale event at Formula Nissan in Barrie. You've put together some deals we didn't even think were possible.
We love our customers, and we love new customers. So we've put extra Formula Nissan discounts on every vehicle in stock. We've cut out the fine print, cut out the middleman, and made it simple to drive a new car or truck, and simpler means cheaper.
0% financing for 72 months. Huge factory discounts, even factory bonus cash up to $4,000. And holiday concert sale event specials you'll find only at Formula Nissan. But these are limited time offers.
We'll have live music on Saturday by Undone, hot dogs, refreshments, and special events all weekend long. But the big news is the savings. It's almost like Black Friday has come early. If you've waited all year to make a decision on a new vehicle, you win. But it's this Friday and Saturday only at Formula Nissan.
Formula Nissan, Barrie Montpelier Road next to Pizza Hut and at FormulaNissan.com.
Let us show you how easy it is to do business here.
244-1777, our local number, toll free 877-291-8255. Let's head up to Essex. Mike, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mike. I would like to tell Mr. Milne to go ahead and go to the legislature and get the people that voted for him to go to the people that they put in and the districts he's in and challenge this governor. My looks at the whole thing is he claimed victory, but with the Libertarian vote and the Republican vote, it's a pretty shallow victory of what the people want. I think there's a veneer on this administration that needs to be peeled back to take a look at when we're not told the truth about things, or at least things aren't brought up before a campaign that's sitting there. I think the media needs to take a look at this and delve into it. I go back to the first election he had with Brian Doobie, and he hires somebody out of Channel 3 right after the election to be his media personnel. And I always thought when that election was going on and I was looking at the reporting from Channel 3 that there was a tilt towards Mr. Shumlin from this person. And I actually called the station and questioned that. And the next thing you know, that that reporter had a job on his administration.
Well, you got to help me here. I should know who this is.
It was a young woman, and I'm going to be blank for her name. I apologize for that, but you could probably text it up or go to the web and find it out. Boy, I can't come up with a name. I'm sorry about that. Mm. But if you immediately after campaign, she was taken in. So he had already salted the water.
Mm-hmm. What about Scott Milne? Was there anything that he said that appealed to you other than that he was the alternative?
He called up and I went on that phone thing that he had.
Uh-huh.
And he's a genuine person. I found him, he didn't have all the answers, no. But he did have some proposals, and I think he was going to, government doesn't take place once a year on the day you vote. It takes place every day. And mm-hmm. I think he was going to be an everyday governor listening to the people that live in the state to hear what they want to do. And I think that's what we need to approach to that. You know, once we put you in doesn't mean, okay, you're good to go. And I mean, you see the problem here when you get a mindset that they think they know better than you do. I think we just saw this demonstrated on the national level where the fellow from MIT there, I can't get Hoover.
Yep.
About, and, the elite know better than you do. And that we, you know, you just had a thing about Thomas Jefferson. And Jefferson, wanted the people to have their voice in it and that type of government. And I think we've lost that you and I have lost our voice, especially at the state level, and even the local level. We've lost our voice, I think, when people feel they know better than you do.
And you feel that's going on in Vermont, too.
I feel that's going on at every level of government we have, local, state, and federal. I think you're getting a government that's been educated to the point of, no, we really, you really have to have this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, I really didn't want the belt to go with those pants.
Uh-huh. Is there anything Peter Shumlin could say to win back your confidence?
You know, I'm just going to say it's kind of a personality thing. And, I think he lost me when he took that piece of land next to his.
Yeah.
And I know that wasn't brought up, but to me, what you do in private, you probably could do in public. And you lost me there.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some questions about, the Friday before the election, $20 million shows up that we've lost in this healthcare fund going on there.
The healthcare exchange. Yeah, they might need up to.
Did that just happen to happen that way, or was that suppressed?
Yeah.
How much is getting suppressed, and that you didn't get to make that decision?
Well, if you're going to suppress it, you don't have it come out the Friday before the election. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is you could have probably, how long ago could have it been out?
Yeah.
Maybe he's smart enough not to say, well, if I bring this out after the election, there'll be a big thing. If he brings it out late enough on a Friday afternoon, it doesn't get reported,
People
go to the polls, half these people are electing people with the guys who has the most signs on the yards. They don't know who the heck it is.
Yeah.
I know that sign. Yeah, I'll vote for him. We're in a lot of ways, we are ill-informed. But, in a lot of ways, it's up to the media to inform. And I don't think we're getting the information from everybody.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the media is doing wrong?
I think they're biased. I think they're biased. I think they've been educated in schools that tilt them to a certain side of the political agenda. I think it shows. And I think they don't want to hurt their guy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it, Mike.
Well, thank you. Bye.
244-1777, our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Let's go to Burlington. Ann, good morning.
Hi, I can't follow that one. That was brilliant. I'm writing a new political dictionary. I'm going to include creative dissonance along with I misspoke and I don't recall. And I invite anybody who has any more definitions to call up and sign up and so on. Politicians have wonderful PR people and they're earning their keep.
What do you mean, like Jefferson?
This amazing, brilliant political mind, you know, being excused. And I'm not trying to nail Meacham because everybody's doing it. He's not the only one. With the idea of creative dissonance, with the Sally Hemings thing. I mean, this can excuse everything.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to South Burlington. Barb, good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Okay. I didn't know if it was me.
Wait,
all right.
Hello?
I've been on hold.
Hello?
I start with the disclaimer.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
I'm very naive about the situation, and I'm taking advantage of your offer to open up new topics. But on the health care situation that everybody is so worried about. Now, I'm old. I have Medicare. I'm not worrying about it. But I do know of people, and I'm sure probably a lot of the listeners also know these kinds of people, that have no health care at all but just run to the hospital for anything and everything. You got kids, you got a bunch of kids, they get sick, they get coughs, colds, and they just run to the emergency room and they're taken care of. And I know of a case even way worse than that where this mother had a problem pregnancy winding up in a C-section early, and now you have a preterm baby that's in intensive care for weeks on end, and all of this people just forget about health insurance. You just sort of show up and you're cared for.
How do you know these people aren't on Medicaid or something?
Some of it I know and some of it I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but I can tell you that there are those, some, like I can speak, but you just sort of show up with whatever is wrong with you or your kids, and show up at the emergency room, and you're cared for. I've never heard of somebody being turned away.
Well, yeah, I think that's the policy.
That's the policy. So then my question is, well, why all the fuss and worry about Medicare when all you have to do is show up?
Well, I think that's a bit of a... Thank you for your call, Barbara. I think it's a bit of a gamble to... it's not a terribly responsible way to live your life, I guess would be how I'd respond to that. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Moment of your time for our friends at Jamison Insurance, a great hometown local company, family-run. That's how you can get your insurance. And when you deal with the Jamison family, one of the nice things is you're dealing with people that really live right here in your community. So when you say things like, I was affected by Tropical Storm Irene, these folks actually know what you're talking about. You don't have to explain some disaster to them before you get to your actual questions, because that is very frustrating. You will speak with live human beings when you call Jamison Insurance, and just really great people to work with. I know you may not need insurance today, but keep the Jamison name in mind when you do. Their main number down in Waitsfield, 496-2080, 496-2080. And they also have offices up in Richmond and right around the corner here in Waterbury. You get a lot of information about this company, those phone numbers for those offices, by going to their website at jamisoninsurance.com. And you know the offer, if you own a business and you want John Jamison to come to your place of business and do a policy review for you, He can make that happen. All you have to do is set up an appointment at that number that I just gave you a moment ago. What was it, you say? Oh, here it is, 496-2080. Let's head to Corinth. Forbes, good morning.
Scott Milne, my suggestion and hope that he would take it to the legislature. A couple of points. It would give the legislator an opportunity, and this shows my political ignorance. But whether we're headed in the right direction, whether a new approach might be appropriate, it would at least give them the option of that. But on another point, I'm very much interested in my representatives and how they will reflect the vote that was taken within my region, and I'm sure everyone else. Whether they're a Republican or a Democrat, if the people of their particular area voted one way or the other, they should support those requests, and it'll be interesting to see whether they do.
Mm-hmm. So you feel that's what this has been the age-old debate. You know, if you're a legislator, do you do what your conscience says you should do? Do you do what your constituents say you should do? You know, it's that, are you elected to make the decision, or are you elected to carry out the decision, I guess is really what it ultimately comes down to.
Well, what is the reason for us voting?
Well, I mean, I guess you could make the argument if somebody votes their conscience, that you, then you bounce them out if you disagree with them.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be a hard shine. It definitely, you know, politics are involved here.
Yeah.
And let's say a Republican was representing a predominant Democrat area, and the vote went that way, he would have to support the majority of the people who voted that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
Right.
Appreciate it. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk criminal justice issues. In our first hour, we'll be talking with T.J. Donovan, the Chittenden County State's Attorney. Coming up in hour number two, we'll be joined by Governor Shumlin. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll get back to your calls at 244-1777. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Back after this.
Would you be willing to do a little research in order to save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your next used vehicle purchase? Most folks love saving a few dollars on an airline ticket or a set of tires. Unfortunately, some people buy a used car vehicle based solely on catchy slogans when a little research might have saved them some real money. At Midstate Dodge, my team has put together a website that makes it easy to shop for your next vehicle. One, we provide a free vehicle history report on every car we sell. Two, we scour the internet and constantly adjust our prices to provide you with a great value compared to what other dealers are asking. And three, most importantly, we treat you like family. No mumbo jumbo. We clearly present all the numbers in writing and offer you multiple payment options on your purchase. Come visit us 7 days a week at Midstate Dodge Hyundai Jeep and experience how car buying should be. Halfway between Barrie and Montpelier on Route 302 or on the web at MidstateDodge.com.
At Midstate Dodge and Hyundai, we make it easy.
Looking for a loan for your Vermont business, childcare, or nonprofit organization? Look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Because at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we lend to Vermont businesses and nonprofits, even if the bank says you're not quite ready for a loan. At the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we focus on people, not profits. We'll work closely with you before and after you get your loan to make sure you get what you need to succeed. The Vermont Community Loan Fund makes loans to early stage companies and established businesses ready to take the next step. We lend to farms and food producers, high-tech businesses, manufacturers, retailers, childcare businesses, affordable housing developers, service providers, and other nonprofit organizations. We make loans to Vermonters doing business right here at home and around the world. So if you're looking for financing to help your growing business, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Visit us online at investinvermont.org. That's investinvermont.org.
There's not much you can do about Vermont's weather.
but you can make sure your family's vehicle is safe and reliable. Give Auto Craftsman in Montpelier a call and schedule a free winterization service. We'll make sure all the lights are working, the wipers are clearing the windshield, the brakes are stopping the wheels, the tires are gripping the road, and the other parts of your car are working the way they're supposed to. Make an appointment in November and receive a free winterization service, and we'll take $10 off the labor of any service or repair. All you have to do is bring in a new unwrapped toy for our Toys for Tots collection box to receive this great special. For your convenience, Auto Craftsman has a shuttle service and five loaner cars. Call 223-2253 to make an appointment or go to our website at autocraftsman.com.
This holiday season, you can collect and win cash and other great prizes with the new Holiday Collect and Win from the Vermont Lottery. Use your smartphone to download the free Collect and Win app or go online. From now till December 13th, when you play qualifying draw games like Powerball, Megabucks, and others, you can scan the ticket or enter online to collect game symbols. Collect six game symbols on one card, and you're entered for a chance to win over $50,000 in prizes. Go to vtlottery.com for more Collect and Win details. Please play responsibly.
802 Honda promised super friendly service with low pricing, and you heard us. Thanks to all of our customers for making 802 Honda the fastest growing Honda dealer in Vermont.
At 802 Honda, we love to listen. Our Lease It Your Way program is designed to customize a lease for both your budget and driving needs.
You can drive away every new Honda with absolutely no money down, or pick your payment and we will show exactly how much money down you need. The biggest myth about leasing is mileage. We're custom designing leases for higher mileage drivers all the time, often with 20,000 miles or more. Let us custom tailor a lease your way.
Find out what many of your neighbors already know. 802 Honda is the only place to get your next Honda. We also have the top-ranked service department in Vermont.
Click on 802honda.com. Call 223-9700. Drive I-89 to exit 7. We're less than 1 minute off the interstate. 802 Honda, driving to be Vermont's number one Honda dealer.
.44-1777 is our local number, toll free 877-291-8255. All right, we're getting a couple of guesses here on this, who the CAX reporter was that our caller said went and worked for the Shumlin administration in a public relations capacity, and you know, gotten a couple of ideas here, but neither one of them kind of ring true for me, so I'm going to kind of skip that, but until we get a better solid idea here. Because there's one person who has the same name as a reporter who also has somebody worked in the administration, and it's not the same person. Because, you know, there can be more than one Mark Johnson out there, as horrifying as that might sound to some of you. Okay, so...
So I went to LinkedIn, and she was a senior reporter promoted from the bureau chief. She also worked at PTZ. She was at CAX following that until 2010.
And so we're talking about...
Kate Duffy. That's correct.
All right. Okay. Because I know there was a different Kate Duffy that worked in the administration, too.
Right.
All right. I would note, too, you know, this is... I mean, maybe this isn't a good sign for our profession, but there have also been... Reporters, news director Anson Tebbets was in the agriculture department in Douglas administration.
Right.
And I'm thinking that, you know, there probably have been others too, but the revolving door, I guess we might call it. All right, let's head over to Barry. Bill, how you doing this morning?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing fine. I want to go back to Scott Millen, what he should do. First of all, I'm glad he did not call for a recount. That would cost the taxpayers money. And he, however, this other thing of him going and talking to the legislatures, if he does it on his own dollar, why not? That's the first thing. Now, if I was in his shoes, I would do some thinking. Do I want to be popular, or do I want to do what's right? And which would make me the most popular? And I would say, if he didn't bother to get a hold of the legislature, says, okay, I concede. And everybody would like him. He's doing the right thing and the whole bit. But Also, he's got a business, a good business, and he took this job in the first place to run for governor because no one else really wanted to do it. So he stepped in when nobody else wanted to, a losing battle, and then he really thought he was had a chance. And so if he gives it his all for the good of the state, I'm just using that statement. It might not be, but I'm thinking it is, and loses, he might just want to go back to his business and run his business and let the other people carry on. He might not want a future in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knows, really, but I am thinking he going now, and if he does this and lobbies the legislature, he's doing it on his own. He's taking his own time, his own money, and he's telling these people what he thinks they should do, or what gives them ideas. Like you had the last caller that was saying, should you be doing what your conscience says? Well, now, I don't know about people's conscience. I will tell you somebody. I'll give you a name. His name is Topper McFaun, and I voted for him. He's in my district.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Topper, I don't agree with him on everything, but I believe he does. We've had a lot of talks, and I believe he does what his conscience says, whether he agrees with other people or not. Mm-hmm. And that I admire a lot more than somebody that that doesn't, if you know what I mean. Even though I disagree with him on things, he believes that, and so he's a good man.
Mm-hmm. But you go back, go back here, Billy. I mean, at one point you said the right thing to do.
I don't know what the right thing to do is.
Okay.
If I was Scott Mill right now, I really don't know whether it would be right. I kind of think, depending on what he thinks for his future, that if he thinks that he has a good business going, it's a really a great type of business, and to go back to his business, and that's what his future would be. He's providing a service for people, and if I thought that, except that I'm going to give this my whole try, and if I fail, I fail. I think that would be, for me, the right thing. Now, if he wants a future in politics, perhaps the best thing for him to do is to concede and be more popular. So what is right? I mean, I can't get into his mind, so I don't know what he's thinking. But he appears to be legitimate. And so what is the right thing? I can't really tell you. If it was me and I had that nice business, I think what I would do is I'd go for all and say, I'm going to see if I can get to be governor, and this would be what the people want, and depending on what the legislatures do. And then if I fail, I have my business.
Okay. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. Let's go to Starksboro. Jonah, good morning.
Good morning. I know what the right thing for Scott Milne, I know what he should do. He should concede to Shumlin. You know, he lost. He didn't get the amount of votes he needed to have a victory, so I don't understand all the confusion is. Proper thing is to just concede gracefully, in my opinion.
What about this argument that people should vote by their district?
No, just that, to me, the person who gets the most votes wins. I mean, I don't understand it. He got the most votes. If it were the other way around, that's the way it should be also.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Constitution says if nobody gets 50%, that there hasn't been, well, they use the word major, but there hasn't been a majority of Vermonters who voted for one person.
Well, that may be, but it just doesn't seem the right thing. I mean, I don't know about that. It just seems to me whoever gets the most votes, regardless of the Constitution, I suppose if it goes that way, I still think that they will decide in Governor Shumlin's favor. I don't know if he's done anything that egregious. I know it's on the borderline, that's for sure. I have reservations about the man myself, don't get me wrong, but it would have to be a very egregious thing that he's committed to take the election away from a person who's garnered more votes than the other person.
May I ask what your reservations are about him?
I think some of the things other folks have expressed, maybe some You know, the real estate deal, I have to say, was that wasn't too kosher. You know, that seemed a little shady. Maybe his he seems to not listen to other folks sometimes. He seems to have a real self-assured way about himself, and I guess you need that when you're the leading politician in the state. But on the other hand, he could listen a little bit more, and I think he's learned a bit of a lesson. You know, it was a close election, and I don't think he's a bad man by any means. I think he's, you know, he could be better, though. Let's put it that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his heart's in the right place. I do. You know, politics is it can be a dirty business, so sometimes it gets on you a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
Well, thanks for, I appreciate you answering that question, and I appreciate your call.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. Bye.
All right, so I've gotten at least three or four different people who are telling me that it was Bianca Sloda who was the reporter that our earlier caller was talking about, who had been working for CAX, and then the governor hired her as a spokesperson. And in fact, who wrote a story about it back in 2010? But none other than our guest yesterday, Terry Hallenbeck. All right, I'll take a very quick break here. Back after this.
Your wait is over. It's time for the Barry Electric and Lighting Showroom Display Sale, featuring huge discounts on Feist Lighting. Don't wait. Hurry in now while selection is at its best. Enjoy terrific savings on Feist table lamps, floor lamps, chandeliers, and outdoor lighting. And on other brands, too. Barry Electric and Lighting can introduce you to a whole new world of beautiful lighting for any application. The showroom at Barry Electric and Lighting is filled with hundreds of light fixtures for you to choose from. Let the lighting professionals at Barry Electric and Lighting help you find the right product at precisely the right price while supplies last during this huge showroom display sale. Barry Electric and Lighting also has the very latest in LED lighting, silent ventilation products, built-in vacuum systems, and lighting controls. They have thousands of products to help make your home truly special. It's the showroom display sale, only at Barry Electric and Lighting on the Barry Montpelier Road, online at barryelectric.com.
When I first started in the car business, customers would complain that buying a used car was too much work. They could look in the paper, but even today, some dealers ask more for a used car than they do for a new one. They could drive all over town to find a car, then track down a salesperson to get a price, or today you can go online, but many dealers require you to enter your personal information to get a quote for their special internet price. Well, at Midstate, we set out to change all that. Our used car department has been chosen as the best place to buy a used car for 2 years in a row. It really is simple. We clearly mark the price on every car, or you can go online at MidstateDodge.com, where you'll find the price, several pictures, and Carfax vehicle history reports for every car. Now, here's the best part. We employ state-of-the-art software to compare our prices to other dealers in real time and adjust them constantly to ensure our prices are not just competitive, but some of the best prices available. Come experience the difference. If you don't have the best overall experience, make sure you ask for me, Mitchell J., or my daughter, Jessica. We're in the store every day or online at MidstateDodge.com.
Put a chance for some jingle in your holiday gifts this year with the new holiday instant tickets from the Vermont Lottery. Santa Paws for Uncle Bob, Happy Holidays for Aunt Sue, Holiday Magic for Gramps, and some holiday cash for you. They're always the right color, always the right size, and they can turn into cash right in front of your eyes. So pick up a new holiday instant ticket today. Here's wishing you a very lucky holiday from the Vermont Lottery. Please play responsibly.
All right, we're back. Okay. All right. We're back here. I'm trying to figure out here. Do we have less than a minute left here? Is that what we got going on? Okay, we do. All right. Couldn't tell if it were between. We're kind of in between clubs there on the clock. So, sorry, we can't get any more of your calls because we are pretty much out of time here. We are out of time here for the program. And thank you very much for joining us. I know there are just a ton of things out there that compete for your attention. So thanks for letting me sneak in and get a little bit of it. I appreciate that. If you ever miss any of our programs, you can always catch them on the podcast. And you can do that by going to our program website. That's markjohnsonshow.com. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with Governor Shumlin, Chittenden County Prosecutor T.J. Donovan. They'll be separate. Don't worry. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugarbush in the flagship AM 550 WDEV Waterbury. Montpelier News is next.